morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Broadcasting live from the Black Hills of South Dakota. It's the 80th Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, and we're located today downtown Rapid City at a place called the Main Street Square. We're sitting right out front, Silver Lining Creamery, an alternative fuel coffee house, and it's a favorite place of mine right out here, and it's a beautiful day. Temperature already here in the 80s. On my understanding, it's going to be beautiful in the Pacific Northwest the next few days as well, and we are loving summer, right? Loving to be able to get outside and enjoy the fresh air. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, and boy, it's been an adventure coming back to South Dakota and celebrating the 80th Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, and it has been fun. I got, as you know, yesterday we broadcast live down at Sturgis and had a chance to walk up and down the streets, and what I noticed, here's something interesting. You know, I lived in South Dakota for 28 years, and many years I stayed away from that part of town, Sturgis, South Dakota, because it was so busy, and raising my kids, I wasn't real sure about the influence and what I would see down there. And I am here to report to you. Yes, there's riffraff in a lot of different groups, but what I saw yesterday was a lot of amazing American people celebrating the freedom and liberty to come to South Dakota, and if they want to wear a mask, they can. They don't want to. They don't have to. Many patriots, folks, even on their motorcycles, they had flags and supporting our country. A lot of veterans. We were at the American Legion yesterday and had a chance to visit with some veterans. Here's something really fun. There were a couple ministry booths. There was a ministry, motorcycle ministry out of Arkansas. In fact, the gentleman standing right there, he was from the town that I used to live in, Siloam Springs, Arkansas. So we had a great chance to visit. And so it's fun to be here and have the, in a sense, all of America represented. I met folks from Ohio yesterday, Illinois, Michigan, North Carolina, and it's fun to communicate with them and find out how they're doing in their parts of the world. And it, not unlike what we've suffered from in Oregon, many of these communities, many of these governors are making decisions that are very anti-business, anti-living in the effort to, you know, flatten the curve, right? That's what we were told early on, that we needed to flatten the curve. Everybody has been very good at trying to make a difference with COVID-19. Now it's time to get back to living. And particularly in Oregon, we have some work to do. We have some things that we need to do. And again, it's easy to curse the darkness, but we need to turn up the light, make sure that our friends and family are registered to vote. I found out yesterday through family members that we have some family friends even in Oregon that are not even, have never voted, but they're getting registered for the very first time because they're realizing, hey, my vote does count. And if you're an Oregonian that's not voted in a few years, or you know people that haven't, please reach out to them, encourage them to get involved in the process. If you're particularly upset with Governor our wonderful Governor Brown, first of all, pray for her. Secondly, you can sign the petition, the recall petition. It is, oh my goodness, it is growing, and it's looking very positive that Governor Brown's petition will be a success. And but we can't just rest on our laurels. We got to continue the effort towards the election. In an effort to educate, engage, empower, and encourage you, I have a guest along with us today that I think is going to be inspiring to you. She certainly has been. I've known her many years. I know not real close to her. We're more like good acquaintances. My mom is a friend of the family, and certainly I've watched this woman bloom into her calling over the years, and it's so fun to watch God work in her life. I'm going to introduce you now to author Megan Kenny. And Megan is a foster mom, a wife of a police officer. She combines her experience and love of writing in her new debut novel. Oh, yes. When she's not behind a book or a computer, she's enjoying the beautiful Black Hills of South Dakota with her husband and four daughters. She joins us this morning. And Megan, I'm so glad to have you here. Thank you for saying yes to this. I'm just going to say this. I love your heart. I love your heart for community. You just facilitated a phenomenal fundraiser for a family that's been impacted by cancer. And I've just been appointed to the Kicking Cancer Board in Oregon. And so when I saw that you were doing this effort, I'm like, even though I'm miles and miles away, I want to do my part and be a part of this. Talk to me a little bit about your love for where you're living and your community and why you're moved, before we get into the book, why you were moved to help this family out.
Hi, Stacey. So I love living in the Black Hills. I grew up in the Black Hills, and it's beautiful, and my family lives here, and it's just a wonderful place to live. This family that's daughter had cancer, her parents are really good friends of mine. And so I've known her dad since grade school, and her mom and I since high school. We were in each other's weddings. So she's one of my best friends. And there's not a lot you can do when you're not a doctor or a nurse or have any medical background to help your friends when they're in a position like this. And so the only thing I could think of was, I know that with COVID-19, the Ronald McDonald houses had been closed, and so they were having to get Airbnbs. And so that caused a lot of more debt than they were expecting. And so I just thought this would be a great way to help them. And it actually was an amazing fundraiser. I was hoping to raise $4,000, and God tripled that. So it was pretty amazing.
And that is exactly what Kicking Cancer is about. Our little organization blooming out of Oregon, growing over the country, helping people locally with the expenses that aren't covered normally by insurance and things like that. And so when I saw what you had done, I just love, you are a kind of a visionary and a trailblazer. And you and I talked off air that I see you. God has positioned you in a way to influence people, and you love to write. Talk to me a little bit about being an author and what the process was and how long you've been thinking about writing a book and how it actually came to fruition.
So I have always loved to write, and I always had this imagination that I couldn't even turn off if I wanted to sometimes. And the stories started coming very early in grade school, and I would write them down. And then I went to college, and then everything turned into getting my degree. And I love psychology, and so I was a psychology major. And so I didn't write much fiction. I didn't read much fiction. But then after my first daughter was born 17 years ago, I started writing my first book. And I just knew this book was going to be a bestseller right out of the gate. And so I wrote it, and then I sent it out, and I got rejected, and I was heartbroken. I'm like, oh, I thought I was just this talented writer. Well, then I realized that I'm not, and that I needed to actually put the work into it. I had to learn how to write. I had to learn. I've always said that talent is just a small portion of being successful in anything that you do. It takes work, and it takes learning about that craft. And so I poured myself into learning about it, went to a conference and had another book idea. I proposed that. It was all written and everything. And the agent I was proposing it to said that was very cliche. And I'm like, oh, so that like... that touched me. I was like, oh, great. I'm like, now I'm writing cliche. And so after another pity party, I was like, okay, what's out there? And in that time frame, we actually became foster parents, and that took up so much of my energy and time. And then years later, I'm like, all right, if this is a serious dream of mine, I need to get back at it, get out those books, start reading more, start researching more. And that's when I decided to go to a conference, and I wanted to just learn. That was the experience. I was just going to learn all I could about writing, and I was going to network with people. So I went to Estes Park, Colorado, to a Christian writers conference, and it was all genres, not just fiction, and I just loved it. It's called Write His Answer, and it is the most amazing conference. If anybody is interested in Christian writing, I recommend this one. And there's amazing ones everywhere too, just research. But it was such an amazing, uplifting time, and I pitched this book to an editor and several editors, and everyone I talked to loved the idea, and so that's where it started.
So this book, I just posted on Facebook a picture of Megan holding her book. It's called Dakota Peace, a novel. And it's a compelling, oh my goodness, beautiful picture of a woman on the front of it above, like a log cabin, more rustic setting. It looks like it's based right here in South Dakota. And I've had a chance to kind of thumb through it. I was gifted it from my mother, and you signed it. Thank you very much. And I'm looking at my mom's copy right now. And I'm telling you, if you've been to South Dakota, if you've been to the prairies or to the Black Hills, what's so neat about this is that you kind of intertwine characters and people and hints of things, because I've lived in this area for 28 years. I'm like, okay, you know, it's incredible how it's fiction, but it's so true to life, like the places that you talk about and things. When was the book released, and talk to me about how it's impacting people's lives?
It was released in February of this last year, right before COVID happened. And I had a great book signing launch at a local bookstore, which was just amazing. So I got that in, and I had another book signing, and then everything had to shut down. So we kind of went online from there. But people started reading more because they were home more. So that was really amazing, too. I have actually gotten a few emails from people that it has impacted in a way that I never imagined it would. The book is about a dispatcher who is going through PTSD symptoms. And the interesting thing about that is I had never thought of dispatchers as experiencing the things that they do until I started doing research. And then it just hit me. I'm like, they have gone through so much as a first responder sometimes, because they don't actually see the calls, but they hear them, and they hear people in their most desperate times and during awful experiences, and that dispatcher's their lifeline. And then they don't often get closure then, because they go on to the next call, and it's very hard on them. And so as I was researching, that was amazing. And so, Anyways, it's about this dispatcher and just the experiences she has. And so that had a dispatcher actually send me an email, and just it touched me, because she said that this book helped her in processing her own feelings and her own history. She was dating a police officer as well, and that had some rough spots. And she said that it made her feel like she could have a happy ending, too.
And it's really timely when we think about what's going on around the country and how our police force is, in a sense, demoralized. And we don't think often of the frontline workers. And I particularly know those that are working in the front line, taking the phone calls. I've known folks that have had to take brain breaks. Their vacation is like remotely somewhere where there's no phone involved, no computer involved, you know, just to get encouraged and inspired once more and stay prepared for that in crisis mode, right? We're visiting with Megan Kenny. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. She is an author of a beautiful book called Dakota Peace. We're going to get more into the conversation when we return. News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Thursday and every day. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you. We're broadcasting live from Rapid City, South Dakota, the Black Hills of South Dakota. We're at Main Street Square, and I'm looking out here. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be warm here, and I know it's going to be beautiful in the Pacific Northwest and the Salem area as well. I just want to remind people, make sure when you go out in that sunshine to wear your sunscreen, drink lots of water, stay hydrated, and moreover, enjoy the fresh air, right? Outside, walking around. I know that many people are looking forward to getting back to business as usual, and the thing that I know to do is just continue to live each day the best that we know how, and certainly do all that we can to stay encouraged and stir up the faith in one another. And that's what I love about bringing Megan Kenney on the air with us today. She is an amazing woman, young woman. She's a mother, a wife, and she's written this book. And I was compelled. I think I'm going to read this on the back of it because it might speak to someone today, Megan. I want to, it's like the back cover of the book, and it talks about the story. It said, after a traumatic call, emergency dispatcher Natalia Brenner flees the city, desperate for some distance from her stressful life. Her peace is short-lived when a flat tire strands her on the other side of South Dakota with nothing but her high heels and a speeding ticket. State Trooper Travis Wilkins offers to keep her company while she waits for a new tire, but the quick fix turns into an overnight visit, which turns into an extended stay. She soon finds herself in the middle of a foster child's kidnapping case, helping the handsome lawman. His presence doesn't quite settle her anxious heart. With the support of her new friends and her blossoming relationship, Natalia starts to believe she can finally experience a peaceful life until an armed madman threatens it all. Ooh, suspense, excitement, encouragement, a little bit of self-reflection. It sounds like a great recipe for a little escape, right, during COVID-19. Megan, you talked a little bit about the challenges of just releasing this book and then trying to promote it and get the news out there with folks. You're also tightly connected to the law enforcement community, and you talked a little bit about talking to someone in dispatch and 911. Talk to me a little bit and bring me some encouragement and our listeners some encouragement, because I know there's people out here with family members in law enforcement. Right now, there's this trend in America, right, of demoralizing our frontline workers, whether it be federal police, state troopers, highway patrol, sheriff, all of those. Talk to us a little bit about that and how you're kind of walking through that and what's giving you strength and hope.
Yeah, my husband has been a state trooper for 17 years, and so he was great help on this book sometimes, and sometimes he caused me to have to rewrite things because they were so wrong that he pretty much stopped some holes in my plot. So it was good and challenging, but it's being the wife of a law enforcement officer. I had no idea that when he got hired in this job that I would be joining a family too, though. And that's just it. Some places I think they are being hard on police officers, but they have each other and the families have each other. And it's just amazing to see the love and support that the law enforcement community gives each other. But we have seen, not just in this area where it is more pro-law enforcement anyway, but all across the country, we have seen people saying, thank you for your support. Thank you for what you do, for your service. Thank you for your service. People buy him meals. They'll buy him a drink if he's out. And he's always like, no, you don't have to do that. And we want to show our support. And so I know that anti-police sentiment is loud, but I think it's few. I think that those loud people aren't very many. There's that silent, or I should say quieter, a larger group of people that really do love our law enforcement and really do trust them. And it's those little kindnesses that really, my husband comes home and tells me every single one of them. He doesn't tell me a whole lot about his job. I mean, every once in a while when things happen, but he'll come home and tell me every single one of the people that have stopped him and have given him some sort of support for his job. So that's huge. So if you have family who are in law enforcement, or if you know somebody, or if you see somebody, just go up to him and say thank you. That is huge. It goes a long ways, because they get hit pretty hard. And media, and nowadays with all these cell phones that are just taking small clips of what an incident is, and that's all they get. And people, it's really hard on them because they don't get to tell their whole story sometimes. And they are bound by bureaucracy and court cases too. They can't go out and share their side of the story because of, you know, legal reasons. And so sometimes that's really tough on them too. So just be their support. Your prayers are much needed during this time, especially for their safety. It's been a really hard time as far as safety goes. A lot of wives are struggling sending their husbands, and husbands sending their wives out there. And so they're fearful of them. And so that's huge too. In my book, Travis Wilkins is the trooper, and he actually is, he grew up in foster care too. So that's kind of an added thing as well, is the whole foster care aspect of it. But yeah, I did put that law enforcement officer in there, and I think it's just kind of, it was really fun to write, especially about the agency that my husband is a part of, the Highway Patrol. And I love the Highway Patrol. I love my husband's agency. I think they offer some amazing support. And actually lately, my husband and I have been working more on officer wellness and also spouse awareness and support for them as well. So that's kind of where my heart is right now. Now is helping other spouses going through all the struggles they're going through. It's a tough thing to watch your husband have to go through this and being on social media and not fighting back. And sometimes I want to, but it just makes the situation worse. And just being attacked like that is kind of sometimes hard. And so we want to support other spouses.
I think here in the Black Hills of South Dakota, my experience of living here, we have an outstanding, all of our frontline workers are outstanding. And I know they work really hard at staying trained, staying community connected. You see their presence not as a negative, you see it as a positive, as a part of the community. And I know certainly your husband and spouses. And as you say, we have quite a few gals that are on the front lines too in the area. And they have a program here in Rapid City, and I believe they have one in Salem too. It's called Citizens Police Academy, which allows us a chance to learn what is going on the front lines each and every day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, visiting with Megan Kenny. She has got a book out. It's fiction, but there's enough elements that makes it relate to our day-to-day lives. I encourage you to learn more. Stay part of the conversation. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new day. Good morning to you.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. I want to give a shout out to all of you that are sending me your feedback via email. Thank you so very much. And I want to say thanks to our friend Avis, too, who's giving. Avis, you're just doing a great job in giving me information and keeping me connected to what's going on in the Pacific Northwest politically. Thank you for that. And I want to encourage you, if you have something or you know somebody, maybe a great interview or information that you think that I might need to know, certainly send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. We want to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And I want to give a shout out to Bill Sunderland with Country Financial, Sunderland Agency, 503-885-0789. Of course, he was on the show with me yesterday. He and his wife, Lisa, came out to the Black Hills to enjoy the 80th Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, and they're traveling back to the Pacific Northwest today. And it was fun to have them on the show yesterday. And I want to give a shout out as well to Dave and Paige Smith. They are new sponsors of the morning show, and they're realtors right there in Salem. They're with Realty One Group, Willamette Valley. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you in your real estate needs. Be sure to give Dave and Paige a phone call at 503-939-7099. We're continuing the conversation this morning with our wonderful friend, Megan Kenny. She is an author. She's a mother. She is also a foster adopt mom like myself. And it's been fun to watch her through the years as she fostered many children in her home and then had an opportunity to adopt a sibling group. She and her husband have a daughter that's 17, and then they were able to adopt a sibling group, which is not an easy thing to do, especially, you know, myself. I was a foster mom. I had seven different individual children, and some were brother and sisters. And I knew many of them were not adoptable, even though they were probably never going to be returned back to their family. There are certain particular regulations and laws in Indian country in regards to the Indian Child Welfare Act. It makes it very difficult and almost impossible to adopt children if you're not an Indian. And when our daughter Bree came into our home, she actually was the first Caucasian child that I had fostered. And when she came into our home, they're like, she looks just like you. She's got red hair, green, blue eyes. You know, we think she should be in your home. That's how they matched us. And I actually was on a leave because I had back surgery. And so she is certainly a blessing and has been a blessing. We got her when she's six. She's now almost 19 and certainly wasn't without a lot of issues, a lot of attachment disorder, a lot of different things that she, because of the trauma and the neglect that she had had as a child. And so I always say shout out to you foster parents. Foster adoption is a wonderful program. Not everybody's called to that. It's hard. You're one of the things, Megan, I've had people ask me, how can you just have them in your home and then release them again? You know, I just don't think I can do that. Talk to us a little bit about that foster adopt experience and where you're at. It's been several years now, a few years anyway, since you've adopted, and encouraging other people that are considering it but don't know how to get started.
Yeah. So actually, that's the major part of my book, too, is the Indian Child Welfare Act and foster care as well. Travis Wilkins is the trooper, and he's looking for a kidnapped foster child. So the foster parents had found out that because they're Caucasian, they can't adopt the little boy they'd had since he was a baby, so they just took off with him. And so it's about trying to find this child. And I know as a foster parent, that thought has gone through my mind. Maybe I can just leave with this child. But it is totally the wrong thing to do. It's the worst thing to do for the child. To help them transition from your home to their next home is the healthiest way to do it. And so I put that in the book, but it's an interesting part of the book is that Indian Child Welfare Act and the fact that they were so selfish as foster parents that they decided to just run away with him. So that's pretty major. In our lives, we started doing foster care when our daughter was 5 years old, and we had over 30 kids come and go from our house, and they have left. They left pieces of themselves in our hearts. I remember every single one of them. I could tell you each one of their names, their situations, because it was huge. They were just amazing kids. And not all of them had the best behaviors, but you understood that because of what they've been through. And so to me, that was such an amazing experience for us. We actually, my brother was in an accident last year, so we decided to let our license lapse. So we're no longer doing foster care, but that's still such a huge part of our lives. And we were able to adopt three girls. They came to us when they were 4 months, 2 and 3. So they are now 10, 12 and 13. So we've had them for quite a while, and there's been some ups and downs, but they bring such a joy to our lives. And they're actually Native American too. So we were able to deviate from the Indian Child Welfare Act, and we had full support of their birth mom and full support of their tribe. And so that helped a lot too. And so we tried to to involve them in their culture and to learn as a family the Lakota culture too, because it's a beautiful culture. There's a lot of beautiful parts of it, and so we try to do that as well. We try to involve our kids in all kinds of cultures too, because we think that's important to have a global perspective in our family too. So we've loved it. It's been an amazing part of our lives.
So when we talk about the culture and keeping the kids aware of where they've been and where they're headed, as a family, you know, certainly something that's important to me and was important with my foster kids, because there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear that these kids face because the unknown, you know, and the stability. And maybe you address some of this in this Dakota Peace book, but a lot of the kids that I've had in my home were worried. They didn't know what the future held. And so because of my faith and my biblical worldview, I would say, you know, in our home, when we're uncertain and we're worried about our parents or our family or what the future is, we just stop and pause and pray. And that's what we do. And I'm here for you at any time if you want to. You know, it's up to you, but you let me know. And oftentimes they'll say, Miss Stacy, will you come pray with me? You know, a lot of my kids didn't call me mom. They called me Stacy or Miss Stacy or however they wanted. Sometimes they did call because they were hungry for that mom figure, but it was temporary, you know, and so I didn't really require them to. But I was able to introduce many of them to faith because of just that peaceful environment that they were in. How would you do that with your kids that came into your home?
Well, ours were pretty young. We only did 0 to 3. So we didn't have a lot. And it's interesting because so many of those children, even in that age group, would come and not be scared at all, which to me was strange. I'm like, you are in a completely new environment with people you don't know at all, and you're not the least bit scared. We had some that were, and we would pray together. We would sing songs, especially at that age. They just need comfort, a lot of hugs, a lot of singing. That the singing helped the most. It's interesting. At nighttime is the worst time for these little kids. I had a 1 3-year-old who he cried every night before he went to bed because he missed his parents. And I would sit on the floor next to him and hold his hand, and we would sing songs until he fell asleep. And that helped the most, just calm his fears and help him realize that he's in a safe place and he's loved. And he did eventually go back to his dad, which was an amazing reunification.
And that's the beauty of doing that. I know, again, a lot of people say, well, I don't think I could foster care. I can't give my heart away like that. But it's a calling. And it is an opportunity to give a window into another way of life and give encouragement and hope. And like you said, you do remember these children. They impact you. You impact them. It's a powerful thing. And then when they're adulting down the road, it's like, wow, I remember you when, and they remember you. It's a pretty neat thing. Now, as you were talking about your book, Dakota Peace, and your first release, I'm curious to find out if you are working on are you writing with COVID and the lockdown and all of that, are you into another project?
I am. I just finished my first draft for my next novel. And this one is about a shopkeeper in Sturgis, South Dakota, in the middle of the rally. So it's actually taking place in 2019 to avoid all the COVID stuff. But she's one of the characters in Dakota Peace, kind of a minor character, sort of. And in Dakota Peace, her life falls apart, completely falls apart. And she loses her husband, her child, her freedom, her job, her career. And she finds herself all alone. And so she starts an antique shop in Sturgis. And while she's working at the antique shop, a lady comes in who has escaped from human trafficking, and she finds a way to save her. And from that, more girls come, and she becomes the hero she's always needed. It's I'm really excited about it. This is the easiest book I think I have ever written, in the fact that it had just flowed. The ideas came so quickly. I felt like her journey was an important journey because she's the type of character that you wouldn't see as a main character. You wouldn't see her as being a hero of anything. And she finds that strength to be a hero for these girls that she needs to be.
Seems like we're hearing a lot lately about human trafficking, and I think people are becoming more aware. Even in the Pacific Northwest, it's a hotbed. And when we've known for years about missing and exploited children, and certainly we knew that there were kids on the street and vulnerable kids, but I think even here in South Dakota over the last 7 years, there's been efforts. There's actually homes developing all over the country that help rescue these women and sometimes men who've been in the human trafficking the hidden current. And of course, we know right now unraveling on a national level. I think under this administration, there has been more of a crackdown than ever to identify on the human trafficking. And we know that the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, unfortunately, along with a lot of times pheasant hunting and the oil fields and certainly nationally, the football games and all of that, that's a cesspool of human trafficking. We're going to continue the conversation when we come back from this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning. It's a good-
Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio KSLM. We're broadcasting live from the beautiful Black Hills of South Dakota, Main Street Square, Rapid City. It's the City of Presidents, and you may or may not know this, but on every street corner downtown Rapid City is a president, a statue, a bronze statue, celebrating their legacy and what they've contributed to the United States of America. So it's called the City of Presidents. We're about 40 minutes, maybe a little sooner, to Mount Rushmore. And of course, as you may know, the 3rd of July is when President Trump was here in the area, and certainly Governor Kristi Noem, there was a great celebration celebrating our United States birthday, and of course, fireworks returning to the Black Hills for many, many years. I remember fireworks. I remember sitting on a mountaintop, not too far, a hilltop, really. They're not really mountains. They're big hills. Watching the fireworks with my kids from a distance because we didn't want to have to deal with the crowds. But this year, they did a lottery system. 7,500 people were able to get up there to the mountain and enjoy a wonderful festivities and certainly hear the president live. And my daughter and her family, the helicopter, the Air Force One helicopter, I don't know if that's the right name of it, flew over her house, and the kids got to see it, and it was pretty low, and they were waving, and it was pretty exciting. And so I know Rapid City has done real well here, and we are kind of like in a little bubble in this part of the country, but yet still affected by COVID. The rates are really, really low, but the hospital and the local health department, they've had to monitor and stay on top of it. And how it works here in South Dakota is the governor basically said, look, I don't have the authority to shut it down or do a blanket thing. And our communities are so different. So from small little towns of 800 all the way up to 60, 70,000 to 100 and some thousand, there's only 900,000 people in the whole state of South Dakota. So to do a blanket thing would not work, nor did she have the authority. So she let local communities effectively and businesses do what they need to do for their employees. Now, Megan, I bet Megan Kenny here with me. She's an author. She's a mother. Her husband is in law enforcement. And so she hits a lot of things, foster care, foster adoption, a lot of issues that are close to my heart. She's involved in a lot of things. I'm curious, Megan, how living here in the Black Hills, how has COVID affected your family? And certainly, what are your plans with your kids here with school in the fall? Because there's a big announcement that came out this week with the school system.
So COVID hit when we even had a case on the western part of South Dakota. We did on the eastern part. So I personally think they shut down the schools way too early. But, you know, looking back, it's easy to point out what we could have done better. So we did, you know, we had to homeschool kids quickly. And I was already homeschooling my two middle children. So to me, it wasn't that much. And I was already at home. So it wasn't huge for me to make that change. My husband, he's a non-essential employee with the South Dakota Highway Patrol. So he had to work from home. And their theory was if a bunch of troopers that are working the road got sick, they needed people to come back out too. And so because he's a sergeant and a supervisor, he could work from home. And then if he needed to, if they were shorthanded because of COVID, he could go work too. But we haven't seen a lot of that here. And so that's been a blessing for us. I know some other areas have been hit a lot harder. But as far as school goes, I do already homeschool my two middle children. That was a decision that we made last year because of their individual needs. But my oldest goes to a private school in town, and she loves it, and they are going back to school every single day. It's a smaller school, and they can actually social distance within the school. She's going to be a senior in high school, so they can do their social distance, and they can clean. They have a protocol on set for cleaning their desks and cleaning around their desk every time they leave it, so that the next student comes in, it'll be clean. So they do have some precautions set in place for them. Now, the public schools decided on a three-tier system, and the first level is, I think, 4 days a week, and it depends on how many And they're requiring masks. And it depends on how many cases we have in the area. Level two is your child is in school 2 days a week. And then the other three, they're at home doing distance learning. And then level three is just all 5 days distance learning. What they've decided, tentatively, they've decided to start at level two. School is supposed to start in a couple weeks, and we still don't know exactly what level they're even going to start at. So I decided that since we can, and I enjoy homeschooling, that we are going to homeschool our three youngest, just because it's easier for us. I'm not a fan of the distance learning, and because we're able to do it, I thought that we would, and it would be a good opportunity for my kids. And so that's the choice that we've made.
So if you're out there and you're a grandparent or a parent and you're thinking, I don't even know where to start to homeschool, Megan, what do you use for curriculum, or how would you encourage them? Is there some kind of advice you could give them?
Well, for my curriculum, we were using, it was through ACE, I think it's the Accelerated Christian Education Program, but I'm actually looking for a new program right now. I've looked through a whole bunch of them. I have a book that I really enjoy, but I would recommend reaching out to homeschoolers near you. I bet there are some groups, and that's the nice thing is there's groups here in Little Rapid City, that homeschooling groups that will encourage you, tell you what curriculums they use. I kind of like to pick and choose the different curriculums. Like, I'm going to have something different for science than I'm probably going to have for math. And social studies, but it's something that I really love doing anyways. I love getting books. And so I'm like, oh, the books came. So it's an exciting part for us when all the homeschool books come in. But I recommend finding other homeschoolers so that you're not doing it alone. Get some advice, get some encouragement. In fact, the homeschoolers in Rapid City started a group on Facebook called Homeschooling Because You Have To, specifically for the parents having to homeschool because of the COVID-19. And so that was amazing. So many parents were asking questions from veteran homeschoolers. I've only done it a year, so I was excited to read some of their comments too.
It's all about networking and relationship, and of course, parental rights in education. Suzanne Gallagher, who's put together this national organization, she is based out of Oregon, but it's been a resource for parents learning how to be a part of that, developing even some co-ops. Parents that have to work outside the home are developing some small homeschool co-ops where they're working together, and maybe some of those things. My heart goes out to families, and certainly like my daughter who's right now on maternity leave, but not sure what's going to happen with my Chloe, my 8-year-old granddaughter, here in just a few short weeks. So certainly keeping it up in prayer, staying informed, staying educated, and doing the best we can to network and encourage one another. And so if you have an idea, maybe you have an idea, or you have a co-op and you want to get the word out, please send me an email, stacy@ksLM.news. We have a few minutes left. Megan, talk to us a little bit of how, if people are interested in getting your book, getting in connection with you, your website, all of that, let us know how to do that.
So my website is MeganKinney.net. It's MeganKinney.net. And on my website, there's a place where you can sign up for my newsletter. And with my newsletter, I do have a free novella that I'm giving out, an ebook, and then the backstory of one of the main characters of his life growing up in foster care. So that's amazing. And then you can get the book on Amazon.
That's Dakota Peace. Get your book today. Thank you for tuning in, my friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a fantastic day.